This is the 2018 State House Podcast from South Dakota Public Broadcasting, brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and Touchstone Energy Cooperatives. Here's Kara Hetland with today's top legislative news and peer.
Attorney General Marty Jackley says he wants legislation designed to restrict the supply of methamphetamine in South Dakota. Jackley says there's a nationwide meth epidemic, and South Dakota lawmakers have a chance to lessen its effect in the state. He says one of his proposals is to increase penalties for meth dealers.
We're going to look at every one of our distribution and manufacture of meth penalties, and we're going to increase them by one felony level. For instance, if you distribute meth right now in South Dakota, it's a 10-year felony. It would enhance that to become a 15-year felony.
Jackley says another potential change deals with current punishments related to meth and opioids.
We already have mandatory minimums in place in South Dakota, but they're never applied or rarely ever applied. And it's for this opportunity to ask the legislature to reinforce that we have mandatory minimums if you distribute or get caught with Schedule 1 or Schedule 2 controlled substances, and they're going to apply unless certain conditions are met.
He says those conditions include the person sentenced is not a violent offender and that they cooperate with authorities. South Dakota State Supreme Court Chief Justice David Gilbertson is pointing to the success of drug courts in reducing recidivism. During his annual State of the Judiciary speech, Gilbertson called for similar courts for veterans and mental health. Some legislators agree, but worry about funding issues. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
It was Chief Justice Gilbertson's 17th annual State of the Judiciary. Gilbertson says he thinks the time has come to develop an inpatient component to the state's drug court program. He says society cannot expect those with addictions to work full-time and move successfully through the drug court program if they're living under a bridge or a cardboard box. Republican State Representative Mike Stevens is chair of the House Judiciary Committee. He says those initial investments into the drug court program are saving the state money.
Those people who get into these programs and we can get them on probation and help them in that regard, 82% to 83% of them don't reoffend. Whereas if you have to send them to jail, you know, the percentage is closer to 40-some percent. And that's a huge amount, that's a huge difference. And it also, you know, really equates to how much money we can save as a state in taxpayers' money, but really in lives that are saved and families that are kept together.
But to further give the Chief Justice what he calls for would require a state investment. Republican State Senator Lance Russell is chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee and candidate for Attorney General. He says his only concern is the state funding those proposed ideas.
He's offering a lot of probably very good ideas, but my concern from a legislative standpoint is how do we afford them? And there were a number of things that will be very costly as proposals, and so I'm really interested in making sure that other states have implemented these things, done it in a fashion that has been very effective and very cost effective for the taxpayers.
In a year with weaker than anticipated revenue, lawmakers will have to find creative ways to fund an inpatient program in the drug courts. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Schrubinger, NPR.
Following Governor Dennis Dugard's announcement that South Dakota would seek a work waiver for certain Medicaid enrollees, lawmakers met for what presenters called Medicaid 101. The Joint Appropriations Committee convened for an informational meeting with both Senate and House Health and Human Services committees. The meeting included an overview of South Dakota's current Medicaid eligibility requirements and the relationship between state and federal governments in the Medicaid system. Senator Deb Soholt is chair of the Health and Human Services Committee. She says in order to get off Medicaid, some people need help transitioning into the workforce. She says the waiver under consideration this year would give those individuals the help they need to get going.
Like what would they need? They would need maybe some work retraining and working with the Department of Labor. They would need to have an environment where they're working and where there are jobs. Maybe they need childcare. Maybe they need professional development themselves. Maybe there are other supports they need to actually become someone who is working and self-determined in their life. And so what we're looking at is a waiver that really would facilitate a transition versus just saying, well, now you have to go to work, but you don't have any supports to try to make that happen.
Work requirements for Medicaid have only recently been permitted for consideration under the Trump administration. South Dakota Medicaid Director William Schneider says even other states have applied for similar work waivers. None have been approved so far. Secretary of State Chantel Krebs says elections are transparent and fair in South Dakota. She says election results are protected from hacking because voters use paper ballots and how county auditors tally results.
And when they are processed, you place that ballot into a gray box. It's locked and secured, and that ballot box is secured all the way to the auditor's office, in which it's opened in public viewing and unlocked. That seal is broken. And then the tabulating machines, when they're tabulating the counts and your marks with a pen or pencil, those are not connected to the internet.
Krebs says after preliminary results are announced, county auditors complete a canvass that is approved by county commissioners. She says her office then canvasses the entire state before finalizing results. Krebs says election integrity is also maintained through requiring voters to present photo ID and through a series of background checks to ensure voters are living state residents and are not a convicted felon. But she says she hopes lawmakers will pass measures requiring even more transparency in the election process. Krebs says many of the potential bills come from the Government Accountability Task Force and the Initiative and Referendum Task Force. She says one proposal relates to a political candidate's disclosure form.
Any contribution of more than $100 from an entity, which means any business, it has to be disclosed. Last year in the rewrite of campaign finance, we had missed the word entity. And so it's clarifying that, yes, you have to report anything over $100, whether it be from an individual or a business, like a hardware store. We need to see that contribution on to that candidate's campaign finance disclosure form. So that's one area I think people will appreciate that. We want to know where that money's coming from.
Krebs says she supports a bill requiring petition circulators to have the full text of a proposed constitutional amendment or initiated measure when they ask for signatures in public. South Dakota's Health and Human Services Committee began its first meeting of this year's legislative session by discussing suicide epidemic. 3 years ago, 173 people in the state killed themselves. South Dakota State Epidemiologist Dr. Josh Clayton has some disturbing statistics about the trend.
For two South Dakota counties, Corson and Todd, they ranked in the top 1% of all counties nationally for having the highest suicide rates. South Dakota youth are among some of those at highest risk. According to the 2015 South Dakota Youth Risk Behavior Survey, 16.1% of high school students seriously considered suicide, 11.8% of high school students planned suicide, and 8.4% of high school students attempted suicide.
Health and Human Services Secretary Lynn Valenti says her agency is working on suicide prevention efforts with individual communities and on a statewide basis.
There's a lot of information out there, and oftentimes communities are interested in this but maybe feeling overwhelmed. So we feel like if we can give them the right tools to help them, then they'll be more effective. And that includes statewide and community data on suicide and prevention, information on evidence-based strategies, and then really concrete steps communities can take to develop a community-wide effort that's sustainable.
Valenti says in order to have a successful suicide prevention program, communities have to tailor their efforts in a way that makes sense to their residents. She says the Health and Human Services Department is also developing a suicide prevention website.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2018 State House Podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free sd.net app on your mobile device for live committee meetings, floor sessions, and daily archives of the people's business and peer. Connect with us on social media by liking us on the SDPB News Facebook page and following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and Touchstone Energy Cooperatives. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.